Hey, our series that we're in leading up to Easter is It's All About Jesus. Today we're talking about Jesus, our hope. And what we love to do is we love to talk about the resurrection, which is what we celebrate on Easter. But what made the resurrection so special is what Jesus had to endure on the cross 3 days before leading up to Easter. And what I want us to think about is this, that in the Bible, our deliverance is seldom immediate. We often have to go through very painful things for a duration of time. And it's not because God doesn't love us or God's not in control. That's just the way it is. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Jeremiah, who is known as the weeping prophet. So if you're having a down day, do not read his writings, right? And let me tell you this, we're going to be in a book of Lamentations. If you're having a bad day, stay away from the book of Lamentations. It is a brutal book. It is a brutal book. Jeremiah is just very honest. He's very honest. And we're going to see some of his writings here. And let me start with this. This is a rendering of what Jerusalem looked like after the Babylonians destroyed it. The Babylonians were the power in the world about 600 years or so before Jesus was born. And they were going from place to place, showing everybody they were the conquering ones. They surrounded Jerusalem for more than a year. They laid siege to the city. Nothing got in, nothing got out. And they did that, you know, to starve the people because every city had, huge walls around it for protection. So rather than them trying to conquer the city through the walls, they knew it would be a bloody battle to do that. They would just surround the city and nobody got in, nobody got out. Nothing came in, nothing came out. And they would just starve the city out. More than a year went by. Things got so desperate in Jerusalem that history tells us as people were dying, the people who were alive reverted to cannibalism to survive. That's how bad it got. It got so bad that they finally gave up. The Babylonians went in, and as punishment, because they would not surrender when they first came a year earlier, they slaughtered the people. They slaughtered them in their homes. They slaughtered them in the streets. They went into the temple and slaughtered people. It was just a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath. And Jeremiah is one of the survivors. Because what the Babylonians would do is every time they went into a city and conquered it, they would take some of the brightest people. Jeremiah is a prophet. He was well-studied. And so for whatever reason, Jeremiah was chosen to survive. And they would take them back to their place, and they would train them in their ways because they would lean on their wisdom, their knowledge, all of that stuff. And so Jeremiah, history tells us, was seated on a hill as all of this is going on, and he's watching his home, he's watching his people, and everything's being destroyed. And if that's not bad enough, when Jeremiah watches all of that, he then has to march 900 miles to Babylon, which would be like us leaving our parking lot and ultimately ending up in Birmingham, Alabama. That's 900 miles. So if you did 20 miles a day, it would take you 45 days to get there. And so after everything that Jeremiah had been through, in listening to his people die, in watching his city burn, he loses everything. Every possession you had was plundered by the Babylonians. And overwhelmingly, the people were slaughtered of Jerusalem. Jeremiah is one of the few survivors, and he has to walk 900 miles to Babylon. And there he is, a captive. And it's in that setting that he writes the book of Lamentations, which is why I say to you, if you're having a bad day, do not read the book of Lamentations, all right? But let me introduce you to some of the writing of Jeremiah in this book of Lamentations. And he's known as the weeping prophet. So much of his writing is just so honest, so open, and so often he's weeping because of all that he sees going on around him. And he starts off with these words, "Should mothers eat their own children?" I bet you never realized those words were in the Bible. That's how bad it got in Jerusalem. Those are his words. He watched it happen. Should mothers eat their own children? Those they once bounced on their knees, should priests and prophets be killed within the Lord's temple? Seeing them lying in the streets, young and old, boys and girls, killed by the sword of the enemy. The enemy has killed all the children whom I carried and raised. The Lord has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. He's turned his hand against me again. He's turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He's besieged and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He's buried me in a dark place like those long dead. He's walled me in and I cannot escape. He's bound me in heavy chains, and though I cry and shout, he shut out my prayers. He's blocked my way with a high stone wall. The Lord has hidden like a bear or a lion waiting to attack me. He's dragged me off the path and torn me into pieces, leaving me helpless and devastated. He's drawn his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He shot his arrows deep into my heart. He's filled me with bitterness and given me a cup of sorrow to drink. The Lord has made me chew on gravel. He's rolled me in the dust. Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Woo! Tough words, right? A lot of us are in the same place Jeremiah is. Our situation's different. The details are different. But we're in a place where years after, we thought we'd be over something. Years after, we thought the pain would be gone. And we're experiencing pain today and disappointment today, just like we did years ago. And what we're saying is we're never going to forget the awful time back then when that happened. And we live with that pain and we carry that pain. And like Jeremiah, we're saying, where were you, God? Where were you? You were the one who could have stopped it, but you did nothing. Where were you? How about his description? God's shooting arrows into his heart. God's making him eat gravel. That's powerful stuff. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope when I remember this. Aren't those words amazing? Everything that Jeremiah has experienced, he pours his heart out to God, and he says those words, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Here's what I want to do today. I want us to learn from the weeping prophet. Let's let Jeremiah teach us about some lies that we believe in our suffering. Now, what does this have to do with Easter? We're getting there, okay? We're gonna end there. But we're taking a look at Easter from Jeremiah's perspective. Jeremiah is 600 years before Jesus is born. But he knows what pain is. He knows what suffering is. And so let's learn from Jeremiah. And here's the first lie. And this morning when I was looking at my notes, I realized the way I worded that first one was just very clumsy. And I wish I could redo it, but it's not my pain will last forever, because you know what? Jeremiah said he'll never forget that. So some of us, can I just be totally honest with you as your pastor? Some of us, we're going to have pain our entire lives because of what happened. It's not going to leave. It doesn't mean God's not good. It doesn't mean God didn't heal. It just means we're always going to remember, just like Jeremiah. And the pain's always going to be real. You're going to go through your day, you're going to go through your year, and random events are going to remind you of what happened in the past, and the pain is going to get churned up, and all of that stuff is going to come right here, and you're going to remember that, and you're going to remember for the rest of your life. So in no way am I trying to minimize your pain, because Jeremiah himself said he would never forget the pain, And some of us are right there with Jeremiah. So instead of saying that my pain will last forever is a lie, the lie really is that I will be overwhelmed with my pain forever. That's the lie. Some of us think because of what happened, I live the rest of my life overwhelmed with pain. And God wants us to realize what could really overwhelm us is his love. And that is greater than our pain. See, Jeremiah says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. And the word that the Bible uses in the Hebrew to describe the love of God is the word that really describes the Energizer Bunny long before the Energizer Bunny existed. It just means it's just ongoing, it's unending, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, just like the Energizer Bunny. It just doesn't stop, right? And think about this. It's the hope of the gospel. I'm sorry, the hope of the gospel is not that Jesus died for my sin. A lot of us say that. A lot of us say, well, Jesus died for my sin. No, 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 no. Jesus didn't die for your sin. You know who Jesus died for? He died for you. He died for me. Personalize it. He didn't die for some arbitrary sin. He died for people. He died for me and he died for you. He saw our faces and said, I love you so much. I'll do whatever it takes to be in heaven with you. That's love. See, and that's the unending, ongoing. It's the relentless love of God. He keeps chasing you down with his love. It doesn't stop. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you're with. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from God. He keeps chasing you down. He's relentless. You turn around and he's there and he's saying, I love you. Let's go. I got wonderful. Do you know Jeremiah is the one who wrote one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. It's for blessing, to give you a future and hope. The weeping prophet wrote that. It's God's relentless love. So Jeremiah goes through everything we described earlier. He says, I'll never forget this pain, but I dare to hope when I remember God's love for me. Line number two. I'm eventually going to exhaust God's love and mercy for me. Anybody, anyone here in the room who believes that? You're like, you know what? Up here we say, well, God's love is unending. It keeps pursuing us. But there are plenty of us in this room or watching online who believe secretly we are the one who is going to exhaust God. And God is finally going to get to the point one day with me and say, Rob, woo, you wore me out, Rob. You win. I will no longer pursue you. We laugh. But some of us really believe that. Some of us have convinced ourselves we're the one. And the lie is that we're going to exhaust God's love. We're going to exhaust God's mercy. The truth is what? God's love and mercy for me is massive and unending. We saw that first part, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. It's relentlessly pursuing you. And now look how cool this is. His mercies never cease. Mercy is a word, and again, the reason I'm giving you all, the breakdown of the word, Hebrew is a very flowery, poetic language. So a lot of times in English, a word just simply means one thing. In Hebrew, it's got all of this beautiful, flowery meaning around it. And it's hard to bring something easily from Hebrew into English. It doesn't go word for word because they have these ideas around these words. And the idea for mercy is, watch this. So mercy means compassion, sympathy, or concern. God has compassion for me. He has sympathy for me. He has concern for me. And if that's not cool enough, the Hebrew word comes from the word for womb, right? The womb is what? The womb is the security place for the baby before the baby's born. And the idea behind God's mercy is that God's mercy, God's compassion has enveloped you, and he's going to guarantee he delivers you to heaven one day. It's like you're in the womb of God. He's enveloped you with his mercy. His relentless love chased you down. His mercy has enveloped you. And no matter what happens, he's going to safely deliver you to heaven. Isn't that awesome? The faithful love of the Lord never ends. He's chasing me. His mercies never cease. He's enveloped me. In spite of all of the nonsense that I've done with my life, in spite of all of the time I just walked away from God, in spite of all of the stuff that you and I do despite God, when we're angry with God, he has us. His mercy is surrounding us, enveloping us. And a lot of us don't realize that because we're so consumed with what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know how the situation's going to play out. So instead of enjoying the love of God that is relentless, and instead of basking in the mercy of God that completely envelops me, I'm consumed with worry about tomorrow. And the reality is that today, God gives me the mercy I need to get through today. So don't waste today's mercy on tomorrow's problems. Tomorrow, God's going to give me exactly what I need, when I need it. His love's relentless. His mercy has enveloped me, and he never ceases. Line number three. My struggles are too much. I'll never make it. Some of us feel like we've been dealing with stuff for years. I get emotional thinking about this. You know my story. I know so many of your stories, and we carry painful stuff. And there are times where you think, I can't keep doing this. It's too much. It's too much. And we believe this. And it's like my job to hang on. God, I don't know if I can hang on. Instead of saying, God, your mercy envelops me. You're carrying me. I'm not hanging on. God's carrying me. He's carrying you. So the lie is, my struggle's too much. I'll never make it. The truth is, God's faithfulness is great. His mercies are new to me every morning. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, says he dares to hope when he remembers what? That great is God's faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Think about everything Jeremiah witnessed. Think about everything Jeremiah went through. Having his city sieged for more than a year, seeing the cannibalism, seeing the slaughter of his people, losing his home, watching it burn, hearing the screams of the people, marching 900 miles to live as a captive in a foreign land. And he says, I dare hope, God. I dare to hope. When I think of your relentless love, and I think about your mercy that envelops me. And then he says, great is your faithfulness. Your mercies begin afresh each morning. See, Jeremiah couldn't understand everything. There's no way. You and I go through stuff in life that we cannot understand, we can't make sense of, and we feel like Jeremiah did when we say to God, where were you? Where were you, God? Where were you? And it doesn't make sense. But Jeremiah understood one thing. The world we live in is broken. It's broken. It doesn't mean God's broken. The world we live in is broken. And Jeremiah understood that our deliverance is seldom instantaneous. And the amazing thing to me when I think about Jeremiah is that Jeremiah is writing this about 600 years or so before Jesus is born. Think about that. Jeremiah has not experienced the grace of Jesus. Jeremiah has not experienced the love of God through his son on the cross. Jeremiah doesn't know any of that. Jeremiah has experienced his entire life the God of the Old Testament, who judges, who sends fire from heaven, who opens the earth to swallow people. That's the God that Jeremiah knows. And in spite of all of that, Jeremiah says, listen, all of this stuff is so bleak, but I dare to hope when I remember God's relentless love and I remember his mercy that envelops me and I remember that every morning his mercies are new to me. And if Jeremiah could do that 600 years before Jesus is born, how much more is our perspective knowing everything Jesus did for us? Knowing he took the cross for us, knowing he died for us, knowing that God showed his love for us by putting his son on a cross so that we could be made whole with him. That's our perspective. And if Jeremiah had none of that and could say, I dare hope when I think of God's love for me and his mercy, how much more can we say that, people? Listen, I'm not minimizing what you're going through. I'm not minimizing what you've gone through. I'm exalting our God and saying, look how awesome he is. See, we dislike and complain about our suffering and injustice. We do, just like Jeremiah. We don't like it. The world's full of injustice. The world's full of suffering. And we complain. We don't like it. But you know what's fascinating? In order to save us, God put himself in that same broken system of injustice and suffering. And he bought our healing, he bought our wholeness, because his son went through injustice and his son went through great suffering. And we're grateful for that. God used the stuff we complain about to be the very thing that delivered us. See, the cross is not about appeasing a vengeful God. It's evidence that God would rather sacrifice himself than destroy his enemies. That's why Jeremiah said, I dare to hope when I remember God's relentless love, when I remember the mercy that envelops us, and when I remember that tomorrow morning when you get up, your pain may be there, but God's mercy is going to be there, and it's bigger. And his mercy is going to meet you every morning, every day. And his love's never going to stop chasing you, and his mercy never stops enveloping you. And every day when you get up and you feel like you can't do it anymore, his mercies are new every day. He's got you. He's got you. And will you stand with me, please? We're going to pray. Father, thank you for the reminder today that your love is relentless, your mercy envelops us, God. And your mercy is new to us each and every day. God, where would we be without you? Thank you for this amazing love that you show us, Lord. Thank you that you sent your son to die for us to make all this possible. We pray in his beautiful name. Amen.